listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I've entitled this message, Simply Come Home. There is an episode in the series Chosen when Mary Magdalene relapses. Whether that's the case or not, who knows? That is, there came a moment in her life, it is told, that she took her attention off Jesus and the mission. The story unfolds as she proceeded to return to what she would have been her old life. But how many know, for you and I, we could easily relapse? But God, in His mercy, rescues us. In that episode, it shows that she was rescued from falling into her old ways. The bigger question is, why did she go this way in the first place? And why do we go our own way and relapse? Jesus delivered her. He gave her a new life. So the question is always in our minds, why would she give up this new life? I want to say this morning, keeping in mind the enemy is very, very crafty. The enemy of our soul hates you. He hates me. He hates the kingdom of God. He hates Jesus. He hates everything that you and I stand for. And he can tempt you away from Jesus. And he utilizes many traps. Can I say a trap isn't a trap if it looks like a trap? The enemy will set snares up in our life to draw us away from the ways of the Lord. And he can lure us as well. One of the ways that he lures us is that he can offend you away from Jesus. And that's one of his subtle tricks. He uses offenses. Let me talk to you a little bit about offenses. Not long, but just a bit. You and I can get offended over a matter, and the enemy milks that to the nth degree. Or you can see a perceived injustice in somebody's life, and you pick up somebody else's offense, and you become like a defender of somebody else's position. That also is a trick of the enemy. And the enemy designs that so that you build a case against someone. Maybe even if that offense is in the church, you build a case against the church. And this thing begins to take on a mountainous effect in our life. Hosea chapter 6. Let's look at it. Verse number 1. The Bible provides answers. How many are you grateful for the answers the Bible provides? Hosea chapter 6, verse number 1, in the English Standard Version says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us." I don't know how that fits your theology, but it's Bible. "He has struck us down and he will build us up. Let's look at that verse again. Take a look. It's up there on the screen. I want you to recognize it. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, and he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will build us up. In this passage of Scripture, God invites you to come back to him. Doesn't matter how far away we've wandered or how long we've actually been away from the things of God. He invites us to come home. A good way to measure your drifting is to ask yourself this honest question. Has there ever been a time in my life when I have followed Jesus more intently than I am following him now? If there's been a time in your life when your pursuit after Jesus has been more intense, that might give you a clue it's time to come home. Hosea chapter 6, verse number 1, opens the door and says, come and let us return to the Lord. Notice it says, let us return. That invitation is the invitation to revival. I mentioned earlier as we got started of a move of God in a little town in, I think it's called Wiltmore, Kentucky. This little college town is about 80 miles south of Cincinnati. And it's about 75 miles due east of Louisville, Kentucky. I brought some paperwork to share with you. And this story is entitled, All Eyes Focus on Another Asbury Revival. In Wiltmore, Kentucky. How many have ever heard of Wiltmore, Kentucky? Of course not. You have? Awesome. That's probably, percentage-wise, true to form. Let me share with you what's going on in this little college town. It was February 8th, which is a few days ago. There was a chapel meeting that started at 10 in the morning. Chapel's usually over by 11 in the morning, but not this day. On February 8th, 2023, and to this very hour, they're actually chalking off the hours. God's Spirit is moving in an unprecedented way there in Asbury University. Students from this university, near and far, are gathering together. I've got a list of about 25 universities that have loaded up their buses. Purdue University, Ohio State University, Oral Roberts University, University of Kentucky. Kids are coming from all over the country, gathering to stay under the canopy of God's presence and what he's doing in that place. Well, I don't know how much time I can spend on this morning, but students who were in the room there where it was happening began to feel the presence of the Lord. The Holy Spirit was tangible in the room, says this one student. Actually, a student at the University of Kentucky. and a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church. Chains were broken, confession happened, and God was praised as holy, holy, holy. The musicians didn't stop. They're still worshiping right now as you and I are gathered here in Aberdeen, Washington. This move of God is taking place in that little town of Kentucky. Jonathan Edwards said, "Revival seems to spread on the wings of testimony." And he goes on and says, in this, he identified five marks that were true in every genuine work of God. And he says, one, Jesus is honored. Two, Satan's kingdom is opposed. Three, God's word is highly regarded. Number four, God's truth is revealed. And number five, God and others are loved. Jesus in this revival is the spotlight. The year is 1992. Can you think back to with me to year 1992? At Cornerstone Church, we started to have a series, 3 days of meetings. These meetings started on a Friday night. We had three principal players besides Jesus and the Holy Spirit. David Miner, an apostolic ministry, came. Timothy Sherman, a prophetic ministry, came. And Bob Wager, a Bible school teacher from Portland Bible College, came to share with us 3 days of intense renewal. By the time we got to Sunday night, I want you to think with me. There was standing room only in this place. The meeting started at 7 o'clock, but by 6 o'clock, you couldn't find a seat. People were standing along the sides, up in the balcony, all over the place. It was determined this is a move of God. Let's not stop. I'm here to tell you that move of God here lasted 21 days. It started at, gathering at 6. You couldn't get a parking space. Let me say that for a fact. Number two, people were crowded in here by 7. Bob Wager, this Bible school teacher, had a job. The meeting ended at about 11 o'clock at night, and for 3 hours, he'd drive back every day, 21 days. He'd drive back to Portland Bible College. He'd teach in the morning and early afternoon, hop in his car, drive back to Aberdeen in time for the meeting. And he was actively involved. Meeting is over at 11 o'clock. He'd do this for 21 days, 3 weeks. There was an intense impartation to this community. There was a blending of hearts in the body of Christ in that particular time frame. You know what my conclusions are to that? It's simply this: Lord Jesus, do it again. Because that's the heart of revival. That's our invitation to revival. You see, the word revival means to revive again. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning as we position ourselves in what God wants to accomplish amongst us. And in this case, it means that the church can get caught up away from following Jesus, and it needs to return again to its first love. This means we can be easily distracted, get our eyes off Jesus, kind of like Mary Magdalene, or even harbor an offense which sidelines us from our usefulness for God. I want to give you a big idea this morning, if I can. I want you to open your understanding to this big idea. When revival comes to the church, an awakening comes to the culture. There's a big difference between a revival and an awakening. And our world has seen both, a revival and awakenings. But when the church has been revived, the culture, the nation experiences an awakening. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God is up to something in his church. He's bringing revival to his church. He's stirring the people of God, not only in Grays Harbor, a little obscure place in Kentucky. And what's more, he wants to do it again here in our region. We can't expect an awakening until the church has first been revived. So, let's examine this word come and how it is used in Scripture. When you read Hosea chapter 6 and verse number 1, you see this word come is used. It's a tender heart pleading. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to live the life that you have been living. You don't have to experience the sorrow and heartache that you may have been feeling. We can return to the Lord. Every one of us. It's never too late. Just return. God is waiting now with open arms for us to come into his presence. Listen, you can turn your doubt into faith. You can do that. You can turn your discouragement into joy. You can do that. You can turn your despair and it can become purpose and fulfillment in your life. When we do that individually, hear me, and we do that collectively as a church, it can have a seasoning in our region, and our region can experience some amazing things that God wants to awaken to Grays Harbor. I had an opportunity last Thursday. It wasn't planned. It was just spontaneous. As I met with the pastors of the community and unpacked to them some of the waves of God's refreshing over the years. It happens to be that I've been in the harness for 45 years, so I've seen a few things in Grays Harbor. So as I talked about different moves of God and different waves and different things that God was doing and saying in this region, what I began to discover in that gathering was a hunger for more of what God wanted to do in our time frame. I'm convinced that Jesus is not done with Grays Harbor. Jesus wants to pour out of his spirit on this region. From the east part of this county to the Pacific Ocean, we can see a move of God if we position ourselves for what God wants to do. The Hebrew term translated return is used more than 1,000 times in the Old Testament. It is used more frequently than most any other term describing what God desires for us. That is to return to him and his ways. Hosea, the book in which we referenced this morning, uses that term 23 times. As a matter of fact, The entire book of Hosea assures us that good things await us when we return to the Lord. So returning is a picture that I want us to grasp this morning. It's a picture of repentance. It's a picture of framing a decision that we make at a certain point in time in our life. And this boat that has been going this way will all of a sudden find itself going yet another way. Imagine a smoke alarm this morning. If a smoke alarm went off suddenly, you have to make an instant choice in the moment. That is to remain where you are or move away from danger. You have to make a decision. You may be slow to respond, though, or simply ignore the alarm, waiting, hoping it'll reset. But I'm sure you can hear this morning God's voice, God's Spirit, speaking to our situation in the same way, spiritually, just like when you hear that alarm. We need to respond. But the question is, have we been and have we grown deaf to God's call? When he has spoken, have we simply ignored him and put him off? I think God's voice is speaking and beckoning to us to come and return. Let me explain, if I can, what returning or turning to God means and what it looks like. There's just a few things that I want to share with you. Number one, it starts with recognizing. The first part of returning to the Lord is recognizing that behaviors rationalized are the real issues of the heart. So, what has to go? Well, as you let God shine his light on your activities, your inner thoughts, you begin to realize this is wrong or this is harmful to me and to those I love. You recognize that. You recognize this for what it is. It's a major, serious distraction and could very well be a sin. That used to be an attractive thing in our life. Now we find repulsive because we've turned the corner. Sin is a barrier to returning, and we have to be open and open our eyes to see more clearly. Simply recognize things for what they are. The second part of this is repenting. When you see what got you to where you are, you don't want it anymore. How many have testimony of when you received Jesus into your life, there was a big turnaround? Things you did like doing, but then you came to Christ and now you find to be just utterly repulsive. You don't go there anymore. It's a big turnaround. Sometimes it takes weeks, months, years to look back and say, oh, there has been a real change in my life. You say, I'm wrong, God, and I'm sorry for what I've done. And the mercy of God pours out on us, repenting, seeing things for what they are. There's no returning without repenting. And then finally, let's talk about returning. If you want to experience the downpour of God's love in your life, then you have to come back. You have to come to Jesus. And I say that in the context that if we want real, true revival, we've got to see that we all are candidates for returning. Because every one of us has gone our own way. Every one of us. So you've got to ask the Holy Spirit to uncover some rocks in your life to see yourself as he sees you. Because if we're going to see a measure of God's outpouring, we've all got to take ownership for where we're at. You see, when we talk about these things, recognizing, repenting, and returning, or all those things, we're talking about maybe somebody who hasn't actually given their life to Jesus yet, or somebody who has backslid from the ways of God and they've got themselves off in a ditch somewhere, and this kind of message applies to them. But that's not the case. If we want a revival on the magnitude that God wants to bring to Grace Harbor, it means that we all come under the canopy of his mercy and see that there needs to be some major adjustment in our life. When I reference this revival in Asbury, one of the things that's characterizing that revival is confession of sin. What else is characterizing that revival, and this is only a week in it happening, it's not even that old. Repentance, confession, asking one another for forgiveness. It's just a melting of resistance to the ways and the things of God. It is a choice that we need to make. What does that look like? It says, well, I'm leaving sin behind and I don't want this anymore. I want this, what God is doing, more than what I've been walking in the past. I'm not hanging around that temptation. I'm shutting it off. I'm moving from it. I'm returning to the Lord, and I want what God has for me. First, most, and best. It might help to look at returning to the Lord as discovering a destructive weed in your garden. First, you recognize that this is a weed. You don't have to take out the phone and, you know, those new apps that'll discover, tell you what kind of weed you got there. You can recognize this is a weed. I don't need a phone app to tell me this is a weed. You recognize it for what it is. Then you pull it out by the roots. Then you dispose of that weed so it can't mysteriously sink its roots in your garden again. You destroy it. That is putting serious distance between sin in your life and victory. It might mean going to someone and clearing up an offense. It might mean humbling yourself and opening your heart to the ways of God in a greater fashion. So today, if you can hear the Lord calling you to come, return to the Lord, here's my word of counsel. Don't delay. Do it now. Not now, but right now. That's what the Holy Spirit's calling us into. Don't try to fix yourself up or sort things out before you return. You don't have to be clean in order to get right with God. You just got to start moving toward him, because he makes you clean. Our righteousness is as what? Come on, church. Filthy rags. You can preach this sermon. It doesn't need us to fix ourselves up. He wants our heart and his to be as close as possible And he wants it as soon as possible. And we got to take that step. Got to take that choice. God is doing remarkable things. And I, for one, don't want to miss a minute of it. And I, for two, don't want you to miss a minute of it. And I, for three, want us all to flow in the river together. Come on, stand to your feet. Okay. Our prayer team is going to be here to pray with you and for you. But I just want to assure you of one thing right now. You actually don't need to come to get prayer. But if you want to, you can. They're going to be here. But here's what I want to encourage you in. I want you to flip the switch right now. Flip the switch from off to on. That's what you're going to do right now. Where you're standing, flip the switch.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.